Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unforgivable Fate by Jess Bryant. Narrated by Daniela Accitelli. Chapter 1. It was the end of an era. The moving boxes piled high in the small apartment were proof of that. The walls and shelves were bare, and soon the rest of the room would be too. Only the larger items, like the furniture and television, remained, along with the area rug that she and her sister, Maya, had picked out together after they'd agreed to move into the little two-bedroom space above the bakery, because what they'd needed most at that point in their lives was one another and a fresh start. Now, Nova De Luca sat cross-legged on the faded rug and felt oddly bereft at the idea of the little apartment empty and deserted after all the years she had called it home. It seemed, to her anyway, that the space was as much a part of her family as any of the living, breathing members were. It was filled with so many of their memories, both good and bad. It had been a fixture of her world. A safe place where she always knew she was welcome, even after she had moved out to give Maya some privacy after she'd bonded with her mate, Xander Leary. Nova had moved back to Crescent Pack land over 2 years ago. The pack that her family had led for generations had always been as much a part of her as her wolf, even when she wasn't living in Crescent territory. Maya may have needed to get away from the pack and everything that it represented after the pain and loss that they had suffered there, but Nova had only left to be with her sister, to look out for her and take care of her. Going back to the pack had felt like the most natural thing in the world to her once she knew that Maya was happy and would never be alone again. But now even her sister was leaving the apartment behind, and the change was making Nova uneasy. Logically, she knew that Maya's family with Xander had outgrown the small space. Their niece was a preteen now, and though Violet still split time between her aunts and uncles, she needed her own space and room to grow. So did baby Carmen, who was getting bigger every day. And even if Maya hadn't admitted it yet, Nova knew just from the change in her body chemistry and her hormones, her wolf had picked up on, that her sister was pregnant again. There was no way this apartment could hold three children, so she didn't blame Maya for moving out and moving on with her life. But it still left a little hole in Nova's heart, to think of it just sitting here, empty. She couldn't help but wish that her visions would show her this apartment's future. She yearned to see a time when it was filled with family and love and happiness again. But of course, that wasn't how her visions worked. When they even worked at all lately. No matter how hard she tried, her gift had all but deserted her over the past few months. Nova was a seer. She had been born with the gift of foresight. The ability had been a part of her for as long as she could remember. It was a rare gift in the packs these days, a coveted ability, and though the responsibility that came with her gift was tremendous, she had always loved that she was the one that people turned to for answers. Being a seer was what she was born to be, who she was born to be, and without it, she didn't know what would happen to her. She could still feel the magic inside of her that allowed her to glimpse visions of the future. She even caught snippets of other people's lives still, people from the pack, even strangers passing through Noir on their way to somewhere else. People who were completely oblivious to the secrets that this little town and the people in it held. But her own future had always been a blank canvas to her, and lately, more and more, she found it impossible to reach forward and pull a scene from the future of anyone she loved. Everything connected to her family seemed to be a blur, with dark spots blotting out the important bits, and she didn't know why. She could feel that things were changing, but she couldn't see it, and she didn't like not knowing why. It worried her that she could no longer see the visions that had once been so clear, the ones that had shown her Maya and Xander smiling at one another as baby Carmen learned to walk, the ones that had shown her that her older brother Leo and his mate Darius would become parents themselves in the most unexpected of ways. The ones of her sister, Luna, and her moray pack alpha mate, Michael, crying as their twins graduated high school. Even the ones where Xander's sister, Zoe, and her mate, Rafe, Michael's brother, threw a surprise party for their niece, Violet, when she turned 16. All of those futures that she had seen snippets of in the past were gone now, mere memories of a possibility that she was no longer sure would come to pass. It scared her, terrified her even. It chilled her to the bone to think that her visions no longer showed her big, happy, extended family because maybe they didn't have a future that looked like that anymore. She had reason to worry, too, because it had happened before, back when she'd been a child. She had told anyone who would listen about her vision of Luna as a pack alpha's mate. She had changed everything for all of them with that one vision and her inability to keep it to herself. Not long after, she had stopped seeing her parents in her visions of the future. She hadn't put it together at first, certainly not in time to change it. It was only after that crazed psychopath, Maddox Clary, had murdered them that Nova realized why her visions of them had gone away. Their futures had been wiped out. Erased from fate's board, all possibilities and paths gone because they were no longer alive to make the choices that would lead them to one outcome or another. But she refused to believe that the same thing was happening now. It couldn't be, because nothing on this planet could tear her family apart, not after everything they had been through together. Other than an apocalypse, she couldn't figure out what could possibly have the power to wipe all of their futures from her mind. And though the world might be shit most days, she didn't think an actual apocalypse was upon them. So there had to be another explanation for her sudden lack of vision when it came to her loved ones. But for the life of her, she couldn't figure out what it was. "Nova?" Her brother-in-law's concerned voice pulled her out of her head and brought her back to the moment. She found him standing over her with a worried look on his face. He raised an eyebrow. "You zoned out. Did you have a vision?"
"No," she sighed, reaching up to take the toddler he was holding.
"No visions today."
"Maybe that's a good thing," Xander watched as his 2-year-old daughter tugged at Nova's curls. "Maya's always saying how distracting your visions can be for you. Maybe if they let up a little, you can live in the moment for a change, instead of always looking ahead." Nova snorted.
"Be impulsive, you mean?" His grin was captivating when he shrugged.
"Worked out for me."
Nova rolled her eyes as he went back to lugging boxes down the stairs. She held Carmen close, cuddling her precious niece, even as she attempted to put Nova's hair in her mouth. She smiled as she unwound the tiny hands from her locks and sat Carmen in her lap, trying to distract her with the light-up alphabet set they'd been playing with earlier. With the baby smacking the buttons and the recorded voice speaking the letters for her. Nova sighed and tried not to think about just how well things had worked out for Xander and Maya. Xander Leary hadn't exactly lived a charmed life before coming to Noir, that was for sure. In and out of foster care, he'd been on his own most of his life. When he'd learned his older sister had been killed in a car accident and that she'd left her daughter, Violet, in his care, he'd impulsively decided to track down his estranged younger sister, Zoe. He'd come here, to this apartment, thinking it was where he would find his sister, but instead he'd found Maya and a future full of love, happiness, and family. His impulsiveness had led him to his fated mate, so of course it had worked out for him.
"He has a point."
Nova looked up as Maya came out of the kitchen with 2 bottles of water and offered her one.
"It's not the one he thinks he's making, but still."
"Thanks." Nova took the water, but only put it beside her on the rug, out of reach of Carmen's grabby little hands. "What point is that?"
"Come on." Maya perched on the edge of a chair a few feet away and watched her daughter play. "Don't tell me it hasn't occurred to you that maybe these blackouts in your visions are because your fated mate is finally coming into the picture?"
Nova scrunched her nose.
"You say finally, like I'm getting old or something."
"Yet still young enough to purposefully miss the point."
Maya gestured at her with her water bottle. I'm serious. You've never been able to see your own future. Logic says that means you wouldn't see your fated mate either, since his or her future is tied to yours. If that's the case, maybe the reason you can't see glimpses of our futures anymore is because pretty soon your mate is going to be part of this family, hence the dark spot. Maya looked far too proud of herself to have come up with this on the spot, and Nova narrowed her eyes at her older sister. She'd been thinking about this, Nova realized, really thinking about it hard. Though she'd given no outward sign that she was worried about Nova's decreasing ability to see visions of their futures, Maya had clearly spoken about it with Xander and been thinking about it enough to have come up with this theory. It's possible, I suppose, she hedged, because she'd never told her sister about her own theory, about death lurking on the horizon. But if it's my mate, shouldn't I be able to tell that? To recognize them, or at the very least, not feel queasy whenever that dark spot blots out a vision? Queasy? Yeah, I remember feeling queasy when I thought about being mated, too. Maya laughed and Nova groaned. It's not the same. You didn't want a mate. You hated fate and expected the worst. But I don't. I never have. I've always trusted my gift and the force that guides it. Even when the worst happened, and we lost Mom and Dad. Even when it hurt, I trusted that everything we were going through was happening for a reason, and it was. Michael saved us and mated with Luna just like my vision showed. Leo found his mate in Darius. Even you and Xander. That was fate. Maya's face was soft and thoughtful when she shook her head. Exactly. You're the one that constantly reminded me that fate is inevitable. It is what it is. Whether you can see your own future, see your own mate or not, there's a reason your visions are changing. You just have to trust that it's for a reason, too. Nova contemplated throwing something at her sister, but the only thing she had handy was the toddler, and she didn't think that would go over well, so instead she scoffed. When did you become the optimist? I don't like it. I want my cynical big sister back. Carmen leaned on a letter that didn't light up and immediately started crying. Nova winced. She'd forgotten that the Z had stopped working on the little toy. Earlier, she'd distracted Carmen from pushing that button, knowing it would infuriate her tiny temper because she associated the letter with her daddy. But this time Nova hadn't been quick enough. She smacked the letter again and again, but it didn't light up, and the tears soon became sobs. Maya swooped in before Nova had a chance to figure out a solution. She picked her daughter up and held her close. She rubbed her back and spoke to her soothingly, rocking her back and forth. Nova marveled at the change in her sister, at the softness of her. Maya had always been the strong one out of all of their siblings. She kept her emotions close to her chest. She was steel-willed and defiant to her core. But motherhood clearly agreed with her, because all of her hard edges fell away when it came to her daughter, and Nova knew Maya had finally let all of her old walls down so that she could love Xander and Carmen and Violet with her whole heart. It was nice to see, and she smiled up at her sister when Maya caught her eye. It's hard to stay cynical when I wake up with the man I love and our beautiful girls every day. Nova's heart gave a tug of envy, but she only nodded. She understood, and she was happy for her sister. She could only hope that Maya's theory about her visions was more accurate than her own, because she wanted this for herself someday. She wanted someone to love, someone who made her better, someone to wake up beside and to kiss goodnight. She was still young, and she knew that finding your mate, the one person in the world that fate had made just for you, wasn't something that could be rushed. But being around Maya and Xander only reminded her more that when she went home tonight, she would be utterly alone, with not even a vision of the future to keep her company. Since her mood was quickly souring, she held out a hand. Help me up. I should get going. Maya used her free hand to help pull Nova to her feet while balancing the crying toddler on her hip. Oh, sure. Carmen starts crying, and now you leave. No, it's not that. She patted her niece on the back. It's not you, sweetheart. Auntie Nova just promised she'd swing by Uncle Leo's on her way home.
Good Lord, what's that racket?
Xander came back into the apartment looking sweaty and out of breath, and Nova couldn't help but wonder if he'd literally come running at the sound of his daughter crying. He was such a good dad. He softened his tone and held out his arms as he approached.
Who hurt my baby girl? Tell me, and Daddy will end them. Come here, baby.
Maya let her husband take the child and scoffed when Carmen stopped crying the instant Xander tucked her against his chest. It should annoy me that she instantly becomes an angel when her daddy holds her, but I'm just glad the crying stops.
Xander chuckled and pulled Maya against his side, kissing her temple. Both my girls are angels to me.
Nova pretended to gag and laughed.
That's my cue to leave, I think.
You're heading back to Leo's? Maya's brows knit together when she frowned.
Yeah, he asked me to swing by before I went home tonight.
Maya exchanged a glance with her husband, but it was Xander that spoke up.
I know Maya has a theory about why your visions are blurry lately, but I have a theory of my own.
Oh, goody. I can't wait to hear this one. Nova rolled her eyes.
Everyone has a theory. Leo thinks it has to do with all of you being mated now. Darius thinks maybe the reason most packs don't have seers is because we outgrow the power at some point, and that's what is happening to me. Maya thinks it has to do with my fated mate, but please, I'd love to hear your theory, Xan.
Maya scowled at her.
Don't be pissy about it. We're all just trying to help.
It's fine, Xander reassured his wife. I get it. I haven't been a wolf for very long in the grand scheme of things. If none of you can figure it out, surely I can't either.
Nova rubbed her eyes, immediately feeling bad for snapping.
It's not that. I'm sorry. I'm just on edge.
I know.
He shifted Carmen in his arms and then looked back at her.
And I think the reason you're so on edge and your powers are off is because you're using them too much.
What?
She tilted her head in confusion.
Hear me out, Xander hurried on. You've been scrying for Leo for months on end now. You're using your power every single day, helping him look for other packs and more people like us. I think maybe you're pushing yourself too hard, using too much magic, and you need to rest and let yourself recharge.
Nova frowned, because that idea had never occurred to her. Was it possible to use up all the magic inside of her? Did it need to be replenished?
She wasn't sure. She'd never given it much thought, because the visions had always been with her, there to pick through or dismiss as needed. But she had been using her power a lot lately, reaching out past the Crescent Pack territory in search of others like them, and more it had gotten harder to grab onto those visions. Was it possible she was using too much power, and in a way she had never been truly trained for?
Leo needs my help, though. He and Darius are working so hard to bring the packs closer and form the alliance. We've made a lot of progress, but there are still so many more packs out there. So many more lone wolves looking for safety. If I can help them, I have to try.
I'm not saying you should stop scrying. I know Leo needs you, and I know he would tell you himself to rest if he thought for even a second that what he had you doing was hurting you. But maybe you can just try it for a little while. Just give your powers a little time to rest and see what happens.
Xander's eyes were soft and full of concern for her when he spoke again.
We're all worried about you, and we only want the best for you. You know that, right?
I know, she nodded.
All the theories in the world could be wrong, but...
Maya shrugged. Xander's is the easier to give a try. Give your powers a rest and just see what happens.
Nova chewed on the inside of her lip but nodded.
Yeah, okay, I'll try.
But you're still going to Leo's tonight, Maya snorted.
I already told him I'd come by,
Nova admitted with a nod.
And besides, he didn't say anything about scrying. He just said there was something he wanted to talk to me about. I promise, just talking tonight.
Well, so long as you promise, Maya smirked. Give me a hug before you run off. Nova complied, hugging her sister tight and thanking her for an afternoon of mindless fun. She'd needed to spend a few hours playing with her niece and teasing her sister and brother-in-law. If Xander thought she needed to replenish her powers by relaxing, then he had certainly helped today by simply letting her hang out and do nothing but keep Carmen and Maya company while he trekked up and down the stairs with boxes. "Love you," she kissed Carmen's forehead and then Xander's cheek. "And I'll see you guys soon."
"Soon enough to help unpack some of these boxes at the new house?" Xander chuckled.
"Maybe not quite that soon." She grinned back and waved as she headed for the door. As she turned towards Crescent Pack territory, back towards home, walking towards the setting sun, Nova let herself get lost in the theories that her family kept supplying her with to explain her messed-up powers. One of them had to be right, didn't they? Or maybe none of them were. All she knew for sure was that she couldn't be the one that was right. Because if her visions were going dark because she was going to lose her family, she would never survive it. Her trust in fate had always been complete and total. She'd always believed that everything happened for a reason. But if fate screwed her over by taking away her powers, or worse, she would never forgive it, or herself. Chapter 2
This was the beginning of something good. It had to be. He had come too far and given up too much to turn back now. This was where he was meant to be. He could feel it in his bones, all the way down to his soul. And his wolf agreed. There was something special about this place, something that called to him, and he would do whatever it took to make things right so that he could call this little town in the bayous of southern Louisiana home. Standing on the front porch step of the Crescent Pack Alpha's house, Griffin Clary could feel eyes boring into his back and tried not to let it get to him. The people of the Crescent Pack didn't know him, not yet. They only looked at him and saw the collection of features that he'd been told more than once were handsome, but in this place marked him squarely as an enemy. He had never given much thought to whether or not he resembled the brother who had murdered most of their family and then disappeared from his life. But if he had wondered, the stares of the Crescent Pack members more than confirmed that the resemblance was there. That was okay, he reminded himself. That was the reason he was here. Maddox had brought him here. It had come to him on the whispers of traveling lone wolves moving the gossip from one pack to the next. But as soon as it reached him, he had known. As soon as he had heard of the attempted coup that resulted in a massacre, he had known even before the name was spoken aloud who had been responsible. Maddox, his older brother, in blood and name, if nothing else. And he'd spent so long, spent so many years, trying to come to terms with what Maddox had done to their own family, that he'd felt a connection to the people Maddox had put through that same pain. He'd felt like it was his duty as the last living member of the Clary family, the only one to survive Maddox's reign of terror, to at least try to make it right. So he'd packed up his meager belongings and begun the journey from out west to find the Crescent Pack and the beautiful little town of Noir that they called home. He hadn't dared set foot into Crescent territory without warning, so he'd paid for a room in a hotel outside of town and sent word to the Pack Alpha of who he was and where he could be found. He had thought at first that the Alpha might ignore him completely, but the knock on his door mere hours later had put that fear to rest. Opening that door had brought with it a whole slew of new fears, though. And even now, nearly a week later, and with an invitation to come to the Alpha's home, he could feel cold sweat prickling his neck. Being here wasn't going to be easy, but he'd known that when he set out on this journey. It was all the things he hadn't expected that were making him uneasy. He had expected hostility, and instead received only careful wariness. He had expected to be sent away, and instead he'd been invited in. And his welcome, while unexpected,
wasn't even the strangest part. The door of the house opened, and a big man with olive skin and the type of body that looked as if it had been carved from marble stood on the other side. His dark hair stood up in places, as if he'd been running his big hands through it, and his lips pursed when he took in Griffin standing on the porch. He frowned, but moved aside, motioning for Griffin to come inside, and so he did, stepping uneasily through the doorway before it was slammed shut behind him. "He'll be out in a second. Have a seat." Griffin did as he was told. He wasn't about to disobey this man, not in his own home. And that was one of the things he was still trying to wrap his head around. This big, gruff alpha wolf wasn't the pack alpha. He was the pack alpha's mate. The crescent pack alpha was mated with a male, happily mated from the interactions Griffin had witnessed. Not only that, but they seemed to function as equals and were open about their relationship, not hiding it the way Griffin would have expected a pack alpha to do. It wasn't as if sexuality wasn't open and fluid in the shifter communities that Griffin had grown up in. It was. Everyone was free to enjoy their pleasure where they could find it. But he had been raised with a strict understanding that while pack alphas might take men to their beds, they were required to mate with a female in order to procreate and continue their lineage. In Griffin's old pack, an openly gay pack alpha would have been seen as weak, and when he had first met Leo DeLuca, he couldn't help but wonder if that had been part of Maddox's mad reasonings for doing what he did. A door opened somewhere in the house, and footsteps came down the hallway. Leo DeLuca paused as soon as he caught sight of Griffin sitting in his armchair, and he visibly flinched. Griffin winced and lowered his gaze, hating that he was the reason for the tension that instantly filled the room. The first time he had met the Crescent Pack Alpha and his mate at the hotel outside of town, they'd both stared at him in horror for so long that he'd known all they could see when they looked at him was his brother. He hoped that with some time they'd come to recognize the differences between them more. But it was still early days, and he couldn't blame either of them for recoiling at the very sight of him. Griffin cleared his throat. "I'm sorry. If I could do something to look less like him."
"No, no, it's not..."
Leo DeLuca started and then caught himself, shooting a glance at his mate who had moved to stand beside him. Whatever he saw in Darius Moreno's eyes, he relaxed a little. He smiled a soft, apologetic smile. "It's a shock at first, that's all. When I decided to come here, I didn't think about there being a family resemblance," he admitted. "I hadn't seen him since I was a kid." Darius wrapped a protective arm around Leo as they moved into the room together as one unit. They sat opposite Griffin on the couch. It was obvious they were both still tense in his presence, but they were trying, and he was grateful for that. Even if he couldn't help but notice the way the alpha's mate put himself slightly forward and angled his body, protective of his mate in Griffin's company. "You mentioned that the last time we talked, but I was too surprised to ask." Leo smiled a little, as if surprised was the kindest word he could come up with at the moment.
"How old were you when you last saw your brother?"
5. I was 5 years old. And I had been sick, so my mother took me to a healer in a nearby pack." Griffin swallowed hard. "While we were away, Maddox attacked the rest of the family and killed them all, as well as several leaders within the pack, including our father and uncle. My mother and I likely survived only because we were away."
Darius frowned.
"He was trying to take control of your old pack?"
"That's the assumption. But he was gone by the time my mother and I returned, so it isn't as though I ever had a chance to ask."
"If he murdered everyone there for power, leaving once he had a clear path to becoming Pack Alpha seems strange,"
Leo supplied. "The only thing I've ever been able to work out about it was that his coup didn't go as planned." Griffin sighed when they both stared at him, waiting for more of the story. It was true that Maddox would have been the rightful heir after wiping out the rest of our family, but he was still young himself then, and I don't think he had considered Tyrell or the support he would be able to gather quickly to his side.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?